Well, last week, Joseph kicked off our preaching series on community with a masterful sermon, all through which he had a thoughtful and provocative refrain. He said, "We are called to the ideal of community, but there is no ideal community." I'm going to say it again because it's a bit of a tongue twister. We are called to the ideal of community, but there is no ideal community. And to that I say, challenge accepted. That's right, challenge accepted. We at Christ Church, we are going to embark on an ambitious plan to create ideal Christian community. And let me tell you how we're going to do this. And no, this is not one of Terry McGugin's egocentric boondoggles. Right? The vestry is actually 100% behind us. There's Curtis, there's Debbie, our wardens. We all stacked hands Tuesday evening to create ideal community at Christ Church, and we took our first steps this week by taking all of the church funds, reserves, operating funds. We took all, y'all ready for this? Y'all ready? We just bought 250 acres of prime real estate in Meeker, Colorado. Right there. That's it. It's ours. Oh, yeah, Meeker. I had you at Meeker, didn't I? That 250 acres of prime real estate are going to be where we are going to build the ideal Christian community. It's going to be fantastic. We're going to build housing. We're going to build a school for all our kids. We're going to build a medical facility. We're going to build a church that sits thousands of people. We are going to build ideal Christian community. So, now, when you leave today, there's going to be a small army of lawyers and CPAs and real estate brokers out in the commons, and they're going to help you liquidate your assets and then contribute them to Christ Church Commune LLC. Okay? Listen, this is going to be great. And I know what you're thinking. He's building a cult. And I would say I'm not building a cult. If this was a cult, then I would demand a fleet of Rolls Royces similar to this. I would. But here's the deal. Here's the truth. I only need one. That's all I need. I just need one. Now, there has been some talk on the vestry about a private jet, but I told them, pump the brakes on that one. Okay? Not yet. So let's get after it, because the truth is we were made and called into community as the people of God for two reasons. One is to witness to the world that there is another way to live that is different from the self-centered, dog-eat-dog values of the world. That we are to show them a life that's different, a life in community and harmony and unity with God, each other, and our true selves. To show the world that it's actually possible. And such a community showcases God's grace to the world. The second reason we're called into community is for our own sanctification. Sanctification is a churchy word for being made holy, Rocky, that we are to be made holy, because that is precisely what we're called to, holiness. And this call goes all the way back to the beginning of the Old Testament, Leviticus 11:44. Now, I know you all have that memorized, but I'm just going to review it. "For I am the Lord your God, consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, because I am holy." Woo! That's quite a call, isn't it? Be holy because I am holy. And the people of Israel were set aside as living witnesses to God's holiness, which was to be reflected in and through them to the world. But as Joseph pointed out in the witness of Scripture, they did not do a great job. They didn't. Now, I am not pointing fingers at anyone, because the church hasn't done a great job either until now. meeker. All right, pack your bags, people. Paradise awaits us. This call to holiness was extended from the people of Israel to the people of the new covenant in Jesus Christ, the church. And Peter quotes Leviticus in his first letter, chapter 1:15. He says, "But just as he is called, just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do." And then he double downs on it in chapter 2, verse 9. And he gives it a different aspect. So that's a singular aspect. Here he gives a communal aspect. He says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God." So there's the individual aspect, and then there's the communal aspect together. Paul makes it clear in his letter that sanctification happens as we live together in community, Christian community. Christian community is the crucible, and I choose that word because crucible has a certain grittiness to it, doesn't it? It's in Christian community. That is the crucible in and through which the Holy Spirit forges us, tempers us into holy people. It is where we learn to have mercy to Jesus' 77 times of forgiveness. It's here, in this place, that we learn and exercise how to live with grace, accepting each other, even when that person gets on your nerves. This is where we learn and exercise to live according to God's values, not the world, so that we can go out there and live it. That's the call upon our lives. But there are a couple problems to all of this, and I'm sure you have picked up on a few of them. But one I'd like to highlight is American Protestantism, which has sold us the idea that personal sanctification is just about me and Jesus, my buddy Jesus, me and him dating, double dating on Friday night, you know? That all you have to do is accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, be good, and go to church. And you're good to go. But if you're an Episcopalian, we throw in a few more compulsory sort of ecclesiastical gymnastics, which we do on Sunday morning. Stand, sit, kneel, stand, sit, kneel, repeat. Right? And here's the deal. You might not know this, but you can burn up to 300 calories going to an Episcopal church on Sunday morning. 300! Another good reason to come to church on Sunday, right? But the problem is, we have set the bar so low, love Jesus, do good, and go to church, that true sanctification is nearly impossible. Why? Because sanctification does not happen in isolation. It happens in the crucible of community. As the proverb says, iron sharpens iron as one person sharpens another. Now, that's the first problem. The second problem is, and this is going to sting a little bit, you ready? We are lazy and we like to lie to ourselves. Anybody in that camp? Anybody? There you go. A little honesty. That's a good start. It's true. We say we want to be with, become like, and live like Jesus, but we're not willing to be accountable to each other in community, and therefore, if we're not accountable, we're most likely going to cut ourselves all kind of slack and make no progress whatsoever. And if you're anything like me, I'm a bit delusional, right? I think I'm doing a lot better than I actually am. I could convince myself of anything. I swing back and forth between unjustified grandiosity, I am killing this Christian thing, to self-deprecation, I am a worm and no man. And that scripture, by the way, Psalm 22. It's like we're on a spiritual roller coaster, right? Where there's lots of ups and downs and lots of activity and yelling and screaming and crying. And then we just end up at the same place where we started, having made no progress. It's in community where we hear the truth about who we are, really are. Not the delusions, not the projections. And we hear it first and foremost through the Scriptures. And as we reflect upon the Scriptures, we do our own self-reflection and we go, ugh. And here's the best part. We learn the truth about ourselves in our relationships with each other. In the rub of true community. It is in true, authentic relationship with each other as we try to seek to be disciples of Jesus that we're actually confronted with ourselves. If you do not want to look at yourself, you do not want to examine yourself, then get out of here fast. Arthur Katz, in the book Called to Community, which we're doing as our book study on Thursday night, he says this. If we have protective, self-centered egos underlying an outward appearance of spirituality, we will find ourselves constantly hurting. But it's better to recognize that now and submit to the sanctifying work in an environment of true fellowship. Listen, community, real community where we do life and faith together exposes us. It will expose us. It will expose us to criticism and judgment and conflict with one another. It just will. But here's the thing. It is worth it. Because it also brings the opportunity of growth. It brings the opportunity of learning about ourselves, our true selves. Learning to exercise with each other mercy and charity and grace and forgiveness. Where we're willing to participate in each other's sanctification. It is only when we're truly vulnerable, truly open, and honest that we can actually be known and know others. It is within Christian community that we can do this delicate work because it's here that we can actually tell the truth about ourselves without fear or condemnation. Now, I know some of you are going, he hasn't been around the church for a while. Why do I say that? Because we are committed to each other in and through Jesus Christ. And in that, we are committed to each other's welfare and best interests in love. We're not like the Kiwanis Club. We're not like your bridge club. We're not like your country club. We actually make a pledge, a covenant with one another. We do it at our baptism, the baptismal covenant. Y'all remember that? And we repeat that a couple times every year. That is the thing that makes us different. We make a commitment that when we hurt each other, that we'll seek each other out and ask for forgiveness and charity. And when we're hurt, we just don't run for the door. We go to that person and we say, gosh, you know, that conversation, that really hurt. And I'll tell you why. I don't know about you, but I don't have time to waste living in the illusion of pseudo community. Right? Fake community. Where we're present, but we're unknown because we're all projecting this perfect image, you know, that our lives are perfect, our children are perfect, our finances are perfect, everything's perfect. posturing for one another, hiding behind false sanctimonious selves, unwilling to be real and vulnerable and open to each other. I don't have time for that. I actually want the real thing. Real Christian community. Where we can build together a safe place to be honest with ourselves, each other, and God. And what I'm talking about is meeker. That's it. Now, many of you know that I'm a recovering alcoholic. Well, there was a time, and I'm very open about that. There's a time where no one knew that I was in recovery. It was during seminary, right? So I'm in seminary. I'm figuring out I am an alcoholic. And I didn't tell anyone, not my classmates, not my faculty advisors, certainly not my bishop. I didn't want anybody to know because I didn't want it to be used against me, right? I didn't want it to sidetrack my ordination process. I didn't want the stigma, an obstacle. But because of my anonymity, I relegated myself to isolation and loneliness. Even though I was in the seminary community, nobody knew me. I was hiding in plain sight and felt the isolation and loneliness of that. In 1995, I was called to St. Michael's in Racine, Wisconsin. I remember preparing my first sermon. I must have wrote it 10 times because I could feel the Spirit prompting me to tell my story. And I was like, oh, no, no, no. That, we are not doing that today, Holy Spirit. Uh-uh. It was like being locked in a closet with a bear covered in honey and berries. That's what it was like. So I get into the pulpit, and I prepared this manuscript. I'm shaking like a leaf. I start the sermon, and then I just abruptly stop, and I say, if I'm going to serve you as your priest, then you need to know who I am and where I come from, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I told him my whole story. Told him how I grew up, how I started drinking when I was 13 years old, what happened when my drinking got out of control, and then my journey, painful journey, into AA and recovery. And I knew in my heart that the only way I could be their priest is if they knew me. Right? And I'm happy to report that my confession was not met with little old ladies throwing prayer books at me, screaming out, drunk, derelict, quitter. No. They were gracious and kind, and it really was the start of building real community based in honesty and truth. Because I don't know about you, but everybody in here, your life is messy. It is. It's really messy. And if it's not messy now, then it's going to get messy. Real community is about fostering honesty and trust and acceptance. And it is in that kind of honesty, trust, and acceptance we create fertile ground for the Holy Spirit to transform our characters, our dispositions, our souls to more reflect Jesus. That is the work of sanctification. It is by sharing our lives and faith together, the good, the bad, and the ugly, honestly and openly, that we participate in our own sanctification and the sanctification of others. And here's the deal. There's no good reason to hide. There really isn't. There's no good reason to hide. One, because we're in this together. We have made a covenant. I've made a covenant with Stephanie for your best welfare, to treat you with dignity and respect, to be in community with you. And I would do nothing to break that. And the other thing, the other reason we have no reason to hide is because, let me tell you, and this is going to sting a little bit, your sins are not that spectacular. They just aren't. They just are. You know, your sins are garden variety sins. They just are. I'll prove it to you. Any murderers in here? Any murderers? Raise your hand if you're a murderer. Rapists? Any rapists in here? No. Any self-centered people in here? Right? The devil wants us to think that somehow our sins are special, and that if people knew about our sins, they would recoil in horror. That is a lie. That is a lie to keep us in bondage, keep us isolated and alienated from one another, and live in a prison of self-loathing. That some reason I'm not perfect, but Chris is. There you go. It's a lie. Let me proclaim to you the good news. You are forgiven. You are. And therefore, we should forgive each other. I remember years ago, I was confronted by a therapist of mine, and they were confronting me about my arrogance and superiority, which is typically manifest in judgmentalism and cynicism about everybody else. And he said this to me. He said, "Terry, you know, you're just going to have to forgive everybody for not being you." Kaboom! I mean, oh my gosh, that sent me into a thing like this for about 3 months. Oh, I cut myself all kinds of slack, but you, no slack whatsoever. One strike, you're out. My journey of sanctification has been moving from this place of anxiety and fear and performance and self-centeredness, which the world has designed for each one of us, and moving into the kingdom of God where there is peace, inner peace, joy, service of others, and being God-centered. And let me tell you, that is a life's work. Because that is the journey of sanctification. And let me tell you, I cannot do it on my own. And neither can you. We are called into community. Called into this place where the Holy Spirit can bring healing and wholeness and forgiveness. And equip us with power and grace and mercy so that we might reflect Him more fully. Now listen, this is by all accounts a brilliant sermon. It is. It just is. I just got to tell you. But the problem is, if we don't do something with it, it's useless. I need you to find in this community a person, if you don't have it, a person, just start with one person that you can be vulnerable with and accountable to. Now, it's tough. This is sort of like your first middle school dance where you had to ask somebody, right, to dance, and you're just terrified they're going to say no. Pray about it. Go to that person and say, "Hey, would you sort of be my community partner? And can we talk or meet once a week or every 2 weeks? And let me tell you what's really going on in my life. And I trust you." Start that. The church can't do this for you. We can't create a program for you. And then once you've made that relationship, invite another person in. And then invite another person in. And I'm going to say this, men with men, women with women. Make an investment of your time and your energy in doing life and faith together with someone else, and then grow it. We are called to holiness. We have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. We have been given the gift of community so that we can become holy and reflect God's grace in the world. Be of courage, people of God, and participate in your own sanctification. And take on the sacred trust of participating in each other's. For the glory of God, and for the witness of His kingdom in the world. Amen.